Such an honor to be here. Thank you, Pastor Don and your wife. I believe in the kingdom of God. It's all about honoring. And it's not about you and me. It's about us. Just want to honor all of you, all the pastors in this place. This is my first time being here, so I just want to share quick what happened in my life. I was born in Ukraine, and at the end, we're going to pray for Ukraine because you guys invest so much into our country. I believe this is the time for us now, invest into this country and all over the world. That's why the devil is attacking Ukraine like crazy, and we're going to pray for our nation. I grew up in a Christian family, and when I was 5 years old, there is seven of us in our family. When I was 5 years old, my mom and my dad, they died in a motorcycle accident. We cry out for 12 hours. I will never forget that day. From morning to evening, we were screaming to Jesus, God, do something. And the next day, my grandpa came and he said, nobody can explain this, but your mama became alive. My dad passed away. We came to United States. I was 15 years old. I was involved with a bad crowd to the point until age 22, police didn't even know what to do with us. You know, they got tired to pull over us, to deal with us. They were speaking into the rooper like, Andre, I told you last time, don't drive. Into that point, I lost everything. I lost everything at the age of 22. But I will never forget in 2002 on an Easter day, God resurrected me from the dead. I came to the church. There is a speaker came from South Africa. And he was preaching about Lazarus. And suddenly I saw myself. I am that Lazarus. I am dead. And first time in my life, I said, God, if you can resurrect me, do something. And I'm telling you, the same spirit that came upon my mom and resurrect her from the dead, the same spirit came upon me 20 years ago, rest upon me. And I heard the voice clearly in my ear. He said, son, come out. I ran to the platform. I was laying for hours. That day, I made a decision just to know God. I wasn't thinking about ministry, nothing. I said, God, for 22 years, I heard about you. You can have all of me, wherever it takes, but from this day, I want to know who you really is. I just want to know you. 2 months after that, I never pursued supernatural stuff. You can ask my relatives. I was seeking the Lord. And 2 o'clock in the morning, I was praying in my room. Suddenly something came, like a rushing wind came into my room. And my body began to shake. And I thought I'm losing my mind. And I said, God, if this is you, you can do whatever you want. I left my room. I flew from my room. And suddenly someone grabbed me and I stopped. And when I stopped, something sucked me into itself. And then tremendous feelings started going through my body. I opened my eyes. Jesus himself was holding me. And then he begins to play with me like a father playing with son. Only later on I understood that I grew up without father. But he knew my destiny, that he called me. And we cannot do anything without his love, without the Father's love, without the Father's spirit in our life. And I was sitting on his lap, holding his face, and he was breathing inside of me for too long. The fire of God was going through my bones, through all of me. I was shaking, and he said, son, the day will come. I will send you around the world, and you're going to go into my body, and I will ignite my fire. And he began to explain to me about the fire of God. This is the whole ceremony. I don't want to preach here. I just want to share something out of this. Because this is the nature. Fire is the nature of God. That's the depth of his nature. He is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. We're dealing with the nature of God. He said, I asked him, I said, what do you want me to do? You know, he spoke to me. He said, I'm going to stand you around, you know, globe and this and this. I was like, what do you want me to do? He said, all you have to do is pursue my face, seek my face. I want you. I don't need your ministry. I want to have all of you. And I will do my ministry through you. because we have this concept that we have to serve God. That's an Old Testament concept. No, we have to present our body as a living sacrifice. We need to be sold out to God himself, not to our ministry. This is his ministry. This is his bride. This is his church. But he called us to minister unto him, and we have to be with him that he can have all of us. Not just for 6 months, 2 years, or 3 years when, you know, you have these emotions and we call first love. He said, I want you to pursue my face. I said, what is your face? He said, go back to Genesis chapter 3. My face is my voice. And you can find my voice in my presence. He said, I want you to pursue my voice. I said, for how long? He said to me, into your last breath on this earth. That's your ministry. I began to see God since then, 20 years already, but I want to mention something in a few minutes, 1 minute. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46 and 47, Jesus said, why you called me Lord, 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 and you don't do what I ask you to do? It's not about the programs. It's not about our skills. It's at the end of the day, it's all about his voice. It's all about obedience in our life. And then he said in verse 47, everyone who comes to me, this is the prayer life. We're familiar with this. This is our prayer life. We come to God. Then he said, those who can hear my word, that's a secret room. That we want to hear his voice. That the word become alive as we dwell and remain in the word of God. But the next thing he said, and they go and practice, or they can go and do it. And then he began to explain to me, he said, this is the place of surrender. This is the place of, no longer you have me, but I have you. Not you have my spirit, but my spirit wants to have all of you. Do you remember in the book of Joel in Acts chapter 2 when Bible says that he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh? He spoke twice, and the second time he said, I will pour out my spirit upon my servants. In book of Malachi he said, they will be mine, my possession. And I believe with all of my heart. I've been practicing this for 20 years. He spoke to me to write a book right now, a new book. I have two books before, but new book about place of surrender for leaders and pastors. I'm a 42 years old. I'm a young man. But listen, I believe this is something that God is doing right now on this earth. The whole shift happening right now in the sphere of leadership. And I believe that he wants to have all of us, all of us. We speak about ministry, but ministry cannot become our God. We have to be sold out to Jesus himself with all our hearts to the last breath on this earth. And then I began to see God. And he said, I want you to start going to the mountains every month. And this is, needs to be for the rest of your life. So I'm not talking about devotions, prayer. I'm not talking about your secret room. He said, I want you to separate yourself every month. If you want to know me, you must be still. You need to practice this. Be still and know that I am God. He said, you cannot be still unless you're going to stop everything. I don't care how busy you are. Stop everything. Stop your emotions. Stop the time. Stop all your feelings. Stop everything and dwell and be with me. He spoke to me that he wants my presence more than I want his presence. That he wants my time more than I want his time. He said, you're the one who's busy. I am not busy. I'm available. You guys been calling and saying, those who wait upon the Lord. He said, don't wait for me. I'm waiting for you. I need you. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 that fellowship of the Holy Spirit with us. He wants to fellowship with us. He said, I want to have all of you. I want to do ministry through you. It's not about you doing for me. It's about me doing through you. But to do that, I need all of you. And I began to practice this every single month for 20 years already. Go to the mountains for 2-3 days. I'm not going there to pray. I'm not going there just to talk to God. I'm going there to present myself. And just to be with him, that he can have fellowship with me. that whatever he's going to say to me, I will do it. Because it's not about me anymore. We are sold out to him. And I want to leave you with this. I know that God is doing tremendous work through all of you. All of you have tremendous ministry. But it's not about ministry. That's his ministry. It's about his voice in our life. It's where his thoughts right now. Where is his heart in this moment? I say, Holy Spirit, what are you thinking right now? Where is your passion today? I want to be there. You can use me. So I want to encourage you with this. Be still. We need to practice this. Everything's still in our time. Everything's still in. And for some reason, when ministry begins to grow, our attention more on ministry than God himself. I was in Dubai recently, and one of the pastors, he said to me, he said, Andre, you're a crazy one. Everyone who comes, they all talk about ministry. He said, I am sitting with you 3 days, and 3 days you're talking about God. I believe this is what God wants from us. And I see the way God is using a lot of Ukrainian people right now around the globe. Something is about to happen through this nation, and we are not special. We just want to serve God, and I believe that this is the time for us to pray for our nation. This is the time to pray for Ukraine, because best yet to come, we're going to see his kingdom manifest on this earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah. Let's all stand together. Just stay focused, if you would. Does anybody think that God is done rescuing mighty women of God? That's a question. Does anyone think that God is done rescuing mighty women of God? Our best days are ahead, guys. God's not watching reruns. He's not eating leftovers. God has brand new things he wants to do. These are four of the best testimonies I've ever heard in my life. It's like, beat that testimony. But this is God saying to us, I am not done. Is this the best God is ever going to do? He's just getting started. Do you think the God who saved the best wine for last is not saving the best testimonies that ever took place for the future? Is God done healing people who are completely paralyzed? Is God done rescuing men who were really fatherless and did not know that God wanted to tenderize their heart to make them a lover, to make them a leader? Is God done with that? Is God done raising up fatherless men like this man, like myself? Some of you, you think you're done. Some of you are thinking your best days are behind you. Just kill that thing. That is an absolute lie. We're not going to go anywhere in this city, in this nation, as a church, if we don't believe that the God who did this is amazing. Has he somehow lost his chops? Has he somehow lost his ability to do this? And I don't know if we really have set our hearts to the point where we believe our best is ahead. That God's about to do something mighty in our midst. He always shows up at low tide. He always shows up when people think they're done. And he says, you're done, I'm just getting started. You fished all night and you caught nothing, but I'm still going forward. Can you believe that for yourself? Let me tell you, you can't tell anyone else they can do it if you don't believe it for yourself. If you think your best days are behind you, how can you tell anyone else their best days are ahead of them? I love you, but guys, we need to slap each other and just say, God's got great things for me. Dave Reaver, would you come, my brother? I want to talk to you for a second. This precious man of God, I met him once in an airport. I was traveling as an evangelist 30 years ago. It was the end of the year. It was December. We were in a, he doesn't remember me, but he has a face you can't forget. And I saw him there, and I esteemed him. I esteemed him as a mighty man of God. I knew his story. I'd watched videos about him. And we sat down together, and I said, you know, Dave, what happened this year? And he said, I spoke to 800,000 people this year, live. And I said, Dave, do you think that if that phosphorus grenade had not blown up next to you, that you would have spoke to 800,000 people this year? And he said, no. Think about what's happened in each one of our lives, guys. Are these men and women standing up here because it's the end of their life and at the very end they want to say something nice? Or are they not excited about what God has done in their life and they're ready to share it? They're ready to preach it. They're ready to go forward in God. And the question for us, are we still ready? I have no idea how old you are, but we are somewhere up there. And my brother, just you being here today, you are a perfect example of an individual who would think, I'm done. I'm done. Right? I'm done. Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? What could God do with my life? And I'm challenging all of us today, guys. This is provocative for all of us. I'm coming. I'm in your grill. I am challenging you. Begin to believe God about your future. Sacramento does not need leaders that are thinking their best days are in the past. Get out of the way. If that's the best you have to offer, get out of the way. Because that's not what God thinks. And it's got to start with us looking in our own hearts and saying, God has great things in store for us. I know there's another wave. I know there are younger leaders in this region that are not maybe here in this room. But we have to keep believing God for what God has called us to be and do in each one of our lives. Don't put me out to pasture. Don't pat me on the head. Don't say it's over. Step aside. Baloney. I am awake. I am alive. I am passionate. And God wants you to be awake and alive and passionate. That's the call that's on your life. And so I'm going to have this man, and I just saw him, I didn't know he was going to be here today. My heart leapt because I've talked about that meeting of him, with him, in the middle of an airport, in the middle of nowhere, end of the year. I spoke to a few people that year. I didn't talk to 800,000 people that year. And so my brother, would you pray for us? Again, these men and women need to know they have a bright future. Not some pie in the sky, not some futuristic time beyond this planet, but right now, you are alive and breathing because God needs you. And so we honor you today, buddy. Thank you for all these years that you have been faithful in serving God. We honor you today. Thank you for being a living example, a living epistle of the fact that God can rescue and deliver and set free and give a voice. Give a voice. Give a voice, give a voice to the face of God. Would you pray? The face of God. Yes, whatever you want to say, say. We don't shut this down till late tonight.
Well, first of all, I'm very honored to be here. And I see my friend Brett Allen. I love you, Pastor. One of the greatest men I know. His dad, a great influence in my life, who told me, literally wrote it out, you've run well, finish well. And when you were talking about being done, and I worry about going to heaven, and Jesus says, well done. When you're burned, you want to be medium well. And I was burned very severely, and on the bank of a river in Vietnam in the jungle on the border with Cambodia, the devil took a stick and he beat me severely around the head and shoulders, I say. He beat me, but he made a fatal error that day. He threw down the stick and he walked away laughing. I picked up the stick he beat me with. The same stick, not a different one. I used the same thing that he beat me with, the thoughts of suicide, being burned, the pain, the rejection, the self-rejection. All those things that he beat me with are the things I use today in the public schools and military all around the world, telling our young men and women serving in our country, don't give up. Take that stick and beat the devil. Take a stick and hit the devil. I take a stick and two sticks hit the devil with. Amen? And so I don't know, some of you may think you've had enough bad luck, you got nothing but good luck left, but we don't believe in luck, do we? Some of you may know my wife, after 54 years, left me for another man. And it really broke my heart. But I got his name, and I know where he lives. His name is Jesus, and he took her to his place. I miss her, but it's just another challenge in life, because all the challenges I've ever known wrapped up together don't compare with losing my sweet wife. And yet, I've never felt such an anointing in my entire ministry, and I've never had such a job opportunity to serve God in what I'm doing in the field that I do it in. And I have the joy of serving the Lord in Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, UAE, Afghanistan, Bosnia, Kosovo, Syria, North Africa, South Korea, Okinawa, Japan, because God had a plan for my life, and there's not a devil big enough to pluck you out of the hand of God. So we don't quit until the last breath. That last breath is when we quit. In the name of Jesus, I speak over every one of you right now that the devil, who is the liar of all liars, we rebuke that foul spirit whispering in your ear that you're done, you're finished, it's over. I come against those lying words that have deceived so many to think, well, I've done my best and my best is over. No, it's not. Oh, God, we ask you to bring a fresh anointing, a new anointing, a new vision. Brighten the eyes that have darkened and open the ears that have grown cold of hearing. And loose the tongue that has been bound and let them speak of the glories of God. And God, for those that are sitting here that say, I have no testimony, I've never done the drugs, I've never been down that route. God, the greatest testimony in the world is not what he got us out of, it's what he kept us from ever getting into in the first place. God, I pray for those that feel like they're unworthy, they don't have a story to tell. The greatest story is not our story, it's God's story, as our brother has said. Lord, I pray that a fresh new anointing will fall on everyone. And Lord, today, I pray for the nation of Ukraine. I pray for our Christian brothers and sisters who are going through living hell over there at the hands of an idiot, a man that is born out of the spirit of hell, Putin, who is described today as nothing more than a monster. I pray, God, you'll deliver Ukraine. Come against that darkness of war. Oh, God, deliver our Christian brothers and sisters there today. As we sit back and enjoy our lives, let us remember they're going through such suffering. Don't let us forget our brothers and sisters worldwide in pain today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, I pray, amen. We're going to